Foundation of Prophecy.
This evening we continue to look at one of the major themes of the Scripture, the theme of covenants. The foundation of all Bible prophecy is certain covenants made by God. The Bible claims that God has made with people some covenants. One illustration of that, though it is not one of those that we are looking at, but one of those illustrations is that one that we looked at briefly last Wednesday, the covenant God made with Noah. Just to let this be a reminder of us to us tonight, take your Bible and quickly turn to the 9th chapter of Genesis. This will introduce us immediately to the covenant that we will consider this evening. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, you will note at verses 8 and following, God spoke to Noah and to Noah's sons with him, saying, "Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you." In verse 11, "And I establish my covenant with you. All flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood." Verse 12, "And God said, This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature. Verse 13, I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth." The Bible claims that God has made with people at different times covenants. They are promises or commitments. And the foundation of all Bible prophecy is certain ones of those covenants. Of the covenants that the Bible declares God has made with people, there are three or four of those which are the foundation of all the rest of Bible prophecy. And the first of those covenants, which is the foundation of Bible prophecy, is the covenant that God made with Abram. That is the one at which we are going to be looking tonight. Last Wednesday night, we found in the Bible how important that covenant was. And if you remember this evening, we went through the Scriptures, through the Old and the New Testaments, and noticed, I suppose, at least 12 or perhaps 15 different references through the Scripture to the covenant that God made with Abram. It was obviously something very important, so important that the Scriptures talk about it all the way through the Bible. Even in the New Testament, in the Acts of the Apostles, and in the Gospel of Luke, and in the Book of Romans, and elsewhere, even in the New Testament, the Scriptures are still referring to the covenant that God made with Abram. It was a very important covenant in the Scriptures. And it is one of the three covenants that the Bible claims God made, which are the foundation of all Bible prophecy. The person who wants to have a good understanding, therefore, of Bible prophecy would want, first of all, to be thoroughly familiar with these covenants, the first of which is the Abrahamic covenant. You will remember from our study last Wednesday that after the great flood that came upon the earth and that Ark of Noah finally rested upon Mount Ararat, believed to have been up in the area we know today as Turkey, that after that flood, Noah and his three sons left the ark, and they and their families slowly migrated back down through the Fertile Crescent, down the Tigris-Euphrates River, and back into the general area from which originally the human race apparently began. Five generations after the flood, when Noah and his three sons had migrated back with their families into this area, God confused the languages of the people. That would have been about 100 or 150 years after the flood. God confused the languages of the people, and the descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth dispersed over the earth. The descendants of Japheth largely dispersed back up into Europe and to part of Asia. The descendants of Ham, when God confused the languages about 150 years after the flood, the descendants of Ham came largely over into Africa and Egypt. Some of them apparently remaining in the area of the Persian Gulf. And the descendants of Shem remained generally in the area where they had been. I think a moment ago I was misdirecting you. Did I not have the descendants of Noah coming down this way? Let's see if you can erase that. The descendants of Noah came from Turkey back down into this area. And then God confused the languages in the fifth generation. And from this area, the descendants of Japheth started migrating north into Europe. Ham, some of them stayed there, but the great majority came west to Egypt and Africa. And the descendants of his third son, Shem, and their families largely remained in the great Arabian Peninsula, and some of them in the Fertile Crescent, the Tigris-Euphrates River Valley. In the fifth generation, after God separated the peoples, there was born of the descendants of Shem, down here in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the area which today we know as Iraq or Iran, in the area between the two, there was born of the descendants of Shem a man named Abram. And we're going to read about that and look also about what God did with this descendant of Shem, who was born about 302 years after the flood. He was the 10th generation after Noah, and the fifth generation after God divided the peoples and separated them by confusing the languages. It was with this man that God ultimately is recorded to have chosen to make a covenant. He was born, as I have just indicated to you, down near the area where the Euphrates and Tigris rivers comes together, near the head of the Persian Gulf, in the area, the city known as Ur of Chaldees. He had two brothers, one of whom died, and one of whom remained behind, and Abram and his father and the brother who died's son named Lot. In other words, one of the three sons of this man and the grandson of this man left Ur of the Chaldees and moved up the Euphrates River past Babylon, on up the Euphrates River, way north and west, to a place which they named Haran, named after the son, Abram's brother, who had died down in Ur of the Chaldees. Moving all the way up this Euphrates River to this place where, with Abram's father and his nephew Lot, they stopped and settled down. It would be in the area that today we know as almost the southern part of Turkey, or certainly in the very northern part of Syria, east and a little bit north of Lebanon, way up here. And there Abram and his father and his nephew settled down. And there, after a while, Abram's father died. When Abram's father died, we have the record in the scriptures that God, for the first time apparently, appeared or in some fashion advanced to Abram and made with Abram a covenant. And he first made that covenant with Abram while he was up here in Haran. This covenant that we're going to look at together occupies five chapters of the book of Genesis. It occupies chapters 12 through 17, except for chapter 14. Chapters 12 and 13 and chapters 15, 16, and 17 talk about the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now, I want to return to this map in a moment, but before I do so, I want to help you try to grasp the significance of this covenant that we are talking about. As I have just indicated to you, these chapters in the book of Genesis 12 through 17, except for, that should be chapter 13, except for chapter 14. The main thrust of chapters 12 and 13 and 15 through 17 is a covenant that God made with Abram. In those chapters, that covenant is repeated five different times. We will notice in a moment how that is true. If you want to see how important this covenant is, God appeared to Abram five different times, and each time in those chapters that God appeared to Abram, he confirmed the covenant and elaborated upon it. He repeated it, and he would elaborate and even enlarge upon it. This covenant is the subject of repeated discussion in these chapters. For 25 years, from the time that Abram was 75 years of age, when he was in Haran, until Abraham was 100 years of age, God appeared five times to talk about the covenant that he makes with him. And in each of those five times that he makes a covenant, he elaborates upon it and enlarges upon it and repeats it for 25 years. God deals with Abram about the covenant that I have made with you. Let's see this looking, first of all, before we do look at chapter 12 together, let me point out something of historical interest, I think. I have indicated to you that this covenant God dealt with Abram for 25 years. Between the time that Abram was 75 and he was 100, in the years that between the time that Abram was 75 and up in that land of Haran, that city that I've mentioned, until Abraham was 85 years of age, God appears to him four times and talks about the covenant. Then when Abraham is 99 years of age, God appears to him again and talks about the covenant that he makes with Abraham. It's a very important part of Scripture. I have repeated these facts to help you get a grasp of this. It was not that God even just appeared to Abram one time, but over a period of 25 long years, he appears to him again, 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 again. And in each time, he talks to him about a covenant that I'm making with you and what it is. And he enlarges upon it. The first of those we have given to us in the 12th chapter of Genesis. And you who have with you now your Bibles, I would like to ask that you would turn with me to the 12th chapter of Genesis and let me read verses 1 through 7. Remembering where Abram is, please try to recall the map. Try to remember his location. Remember that his father has died and he is located with his nephew Lot way up in Haran by the Euphrates River. And here is what we have in chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Now, let me just help you remember because some things that will be useful to you. Why is this area called Canaan? It is called Canaan because of the fact that Noah had a son named Ham, and Ham had a son named Canaan, and Noah's grandson, Canaan, and his son, Ham, dishonored their father in a most serious way. And we know what God said was going to occur to Canaan and to Ham because of their character, of the kind of people they were. And when the nations were dispersed and when God separated the peoples by confusing their languages, Canaan and his descendants migrated over to the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, and settled and inhabited that area along the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, and thus it was named after them, Canaan. Later on, some 400 or 500 years after this, it will come to be called Palestine. Do you know why? Because about 400 years after this, some more descendants of Ham, called the Philistines, who had migrated out to the Greek Sea Islands, about the time of Moses, just before Moses in the Exodus, those descendants of Ham, named the Philistines, came back inland and settled along the southern coast of this land, and it came to be named after them. The Philistines are Palestine. Later, of course, it comes to be known as Israel. I was ignorant of how offensive those names are to the Jews. And in 1968, just before, a year before we went to Israel for the first time, I had as my roommate for 2 weeks of annual training in the Army Reserve a Jewish rabbi. And I said to him, thinking he would be quite excited, Rabbi Chaplain, I am going to be visiting Palestine. And he was very angry. And he said to me, that is not Palestine. It is Israel. And I didn't even really, had not stopped to know what the name Palestine signified. And I asked him, and he helped me remember how it came to be called Palestine after the Philistines. And you can imagine today, therefore, how unpleasant and that would be to an Israelite to call that land Canaan or Palestine. And we read here, as you note, that here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, these words, and let's look at them quickly. And Abram passed through the land as far, or verse 6 at the end of verse 5, thus they came to the land of Canaan, because at that time the descendants of Ham through his son Canaan had settled there, and the land was named after them. And in a moment we're going to read, well, we will go ahead and read at the moment, verses 6 and 7. And Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Here is the covenant. The first part of the covenant was made up in Haran. While Abram was in Haran, 75 years of age, no children, the Lord said to Abram there, here's a condition. If you will move to a country to which I will direct you, then I will make a covenant with you. On my part, my commitment is, and he mentioned four blessings, that Abram would become the progenitor or the father of an important people of an ethnic group. Though Abram at that point had no children and was 75 years of age, God said, if you will leave Haran and go to the land I show you, I make a covenant. You will be the progenitor of an important people of an important ethnic group. Not only that, but I will give you personally blessings. Not only that, I will make your name an important name. And not only that, I will make you to be a channel of worldwide blessing. Abram, leave Haran and go to a land I will show you. And I make this covenant with you that I have just outlined. As we have read, Abram took Lot and Sarai, his wife, and their families, and left Haran, and they went to the land, entered, as I will show you in a moment, the land, and in Canaan they came to a place called Shechem. And when they reached the place of Shechem at an oak, the oak of Moreh, God elaborated upon that covenant. And he said, this is the land. And I am going to give this land of Canaan to Abram, your descendants. The land later called Palestine, later called Israel. I just want to try to make this vivid to you. And it seems to me, I know that this is so important in biblical teaching, that even if I move slowly, it will be well worth our time to have it pictured in our minds. Abram is here at Haran. His father has died. God appears to him when he's 75. Abram, if you will go to a land I will show you, I will do those things for you that we've just talked about. Abram and his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and their families leave Haran. They come down and cross this land, pass by what we know today as Damascus, come way on down south and west, past Damascus, down on the through the Golan Heights, around the south end of the Sea of Galilee, across the Jordan River below the Sea of Galilee, down into the area that today we know as Samaria, the middle part of the land. And there in the middle part of the land, at a place named Shechem, by an oak, Abram stops and God appears to him and says, "This is the land I will give to your descendants." That is the first part of the covenant that God made to Abram. Now, with that background before us, I think we will keep this map here because I want to give you some sense of history. After God appeared to Abram there in Shechem, I'm not going to read for you, but if you would read it in the rest of chapter 12 and in verses 13 and following, after a short while, Abram and his family come all the way down into Egypt. And they stay in Egypt a short while. And after they are in Egypt a short while, then they come back to the land. All of this has taken perhaps a couple of years, 2 to 3 years, it seems, from our study of the Scripture. Abram would no doubt be now something like, we know he's not 80 yet, and he's between 75 and 80, probably 77 or 78 years of age. They come back into the land through the Negev, all the way back up past Jerusalem. And at that time, Jerusalem was a city. It was the city called Salem. The Jebusites occupied it. The Jebusites were descendants of Canaan, of Ham. They came back past the city of Jerusalem up to Samaria to below Shechem, a little distance below Shechem, to a place called Bethel. And there, God appears to Abraham again and gives to him and talks to him about this covenant once more. So let me ask that you will now turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis and to chapter 13. And remember that this is now the second, really the third appearance, but the second different sight, the second full appearance and renewal of the covenant that God made with Abram. And now as Abram is there in that land, back up, having been in Egypt, and now back in the land up in Samaria at Shechem, he is around 80 years of age, a little bit younger than that. He is at the place called Bethel, and the Lord appears to him. Notice in Genesis chapter 13, verses 12 and following. And Abram settled in the land of Canaan. I'm sorry, I'm skipping too fast here. Let's back up to chapter 13 and start with verses 1 and following. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev. And his wife, and all that belonged to him, and Lot with them. I don't know how interested you are in this history and trying to visualize it, but let me just run the risk that you're not as interested in it as I am. We read in verse 1, of chapter 13, Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev. The Negev is the land in the southern part of Israel, way down here. It's the area around Hebron, Beersheba, and the desert wilderness in the south. So Abram came back from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the Negev, now as far as Bethel. So now he leaves the Negev all the way up to Samaria, to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling there. And we have the strife that is brought on between Lot and Abram. And you will notice these words. Verse 8, Then Abram said to Lot, Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between your my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. And Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley, the Jordan Valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, exceedingly in sinners against the Lord. And verse 14, And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there Abram built an altar to the Lord. So the Abram and Lot had strife. There was not, their herdsmen had conflict. Abram said to Lot, You choose what you want. Lot looked over and noticed that all this land down the river valley, the Jordan River, was like a garden. He said, I will take the river valley. So he went eastward over here to the Jordan River and came down even to Sodom and Gomorrah by the Dead Sea. And Abram stayed over in what was called the land of Canaan. And the Lord said to Canaan, to Abram, look, everywhere you look and everywhere you walk, I'm going to give it to you, this land, and to your descendants forever. And Abram turned and came back down to the Negev, back to Hebron and to Beersheba. And that is by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So let's look at this covenant now as it expands. You will immediately realize that this covenant's occupying a large amount of space in the text. In this time when Abram is at Bethel, and we've just read about it, now God says to him, not only will I make you the progenitor of a mighty people, but they will be innumerable. Your descendants are not only going to be great, they will be innumerable. If it's possible to number the sands of the sea. That's in 13:16. Secondly, God said, my covenant is that all of Canaan that you have seen or do see and that you have seen, and remember where he traveled from, and that you traveled, all of that I am going to give to you and to your descendants. And finally, the covenant said, this will be an unending title and an unending ownership. I will give it to your descendants forever. Note the length of time that he will have distinct descendants. Abram's descendants will always be. And notice the length of time they are to hold title to that land. I give it to them forever. It's an unending title. That's the covenant God is elaborating upon as he deals with Abraham concerning this tremendous promise that he makes. Now, in chapter 14 of the book of Genesis, the covenant is not dealt with. And historically, what happens in the 14th chapter of Genesis is this, and I will just quickly review it for you. He has come back and is settled down here, Abram has, in the land around Hebron and Beersheba. The king of Syria, Chedorlaomer, sweeps down against the Canaanites, and he comes down against the cities of the plain, of the valley, the five cities of the valley where Lot has settled. And this king, Chedorlaomer, captures those cities, destroys most of them, and carries away an enormous amount of booty. And among those whom he carries away is Abram's nephew, Lot. He takes Lot and he turns and starts back to his land with all this wealth that he has taken and with some captives, among whom is Lot. Abram down here in Hebron hears about that. And Abram is a very powerful man by this time. God has been personally blessing him. He has many herdsmen, large flocks, a very wealthy man. He pursues Chedorlaomer, and up in the Golan Heights, he overtakes Chedorlaomer and defeats him. He then turns around and lets Lot return, and Abram comes back down towards Hebron. And as he passes Jerusalem, or Salem, he meets Melchizedek, the king priest, who is the king and the priest of the true God at Salem. He gives to him a tenth of all the booty that he has taken, and Abram comes back on down to Hebron. That's the 14th chapter. Now in the 15th chapter, God continues to deal with Abram about this tremendous covenant that he is making with him. So if you will now look for a moment at the 15th chapter of Genesis. By this time, Abram is between 80 and 85 years of age. God has now appeared to him three times with a covenant. And he now appears to Abram while he is down in the Negev area. And rather than read all of these, let me just read the opening three verses and then point of chapter 15 and then point out to you some things. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, no flesh and blood children, one who is born in my house is my heir." Abram apparently believed that the descendants that God was going to give to him, who would be many and who would make his name great, were going to be his heirs, not of his own body and flesh and blood, but adopted, those born to some of his, those who worked for him. And he says, "What can you do for me? I don't even have children, and one born in my house is my heir." And then God elaborates upon that covenant again. Verse 4. "Abram, your descendants are going to be flesh and blood descendants. The covenant I made with you is that they will be your own children, flesh and blood." Verse 4. "This man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." Verse 5. "Those flesh and blood descendants will be innumerable." And he took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them." And he said to Abram, "So shall your descendants be." And in verses 7 through 11, this land of Canaan again is repeated. The covenant's going to be given to Abram and his descendants. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." And he said, "O Lord, how may I know that I shall possess it?" And in verses 9 through 11 and 12, you have a very ancient covenant rite described. It was the most sacred kind of a ritual. It was the kind of a ritual that two persons performed when the most solemn kind of covenant was made between them. And we have in those verses Abram and God participating in that sacred ritual, the most solemn kind of a ritual of a covenant. And verse 13, we have some more information given to Abram. Abram's descendants are to be slaves in a different land for 400 years. But afterwards, those descendants, flesh and blood descendants of his, will be delivered. And finally, in verses 18 through 21, the boundaries of that land which God covenants to give to Abram are described. Read with me at verse 18 these words. "On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenite, the Kenizzite, and the Cadmonite, and the Hittite, the Perizzite, and so on, the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite, all of those are descendants of Canaan, and who lived, and of Ham, who lived in the land. The Jebusites occupied Jerusalem at that time. The Hittites occupied area probably, we think, around Jericho. They were all in the land. But the area that God was going to give to Abram is a very significant area. He says to him, I will give to you the land all the way from the river of Egypt. Now I'll come back to that in a moment. All the way to the Euphrates. The Euphrates is way up here. The river of Egypt, we're not really sure whether that is a reference to a river that runs right through here that is called the river of Egypt, or whether it is the Nile River, the large river in Egypt. But at least this covenant, God said, all the way from the river of Egypt, either meaning down here in the Sinai area, or meaning over on the Nile River. And nobody really, people have their opinions, but no one can be sure. But from here all the way up to the Euphrates is the land that I covenant to give to you. So once again, God has appeared to Noah, to Abram, with the repetition of this covenant. Just said that to see if you were awake. Now, we turn to the 16th chapter of Genesis. At this point, Abram is 85 years of age. 10 years have passed since he left Haran. Sarah is now 75. They're still in the Negev. They still have no flesh and blood descendants. Though God had said that to them in chapter 15, they still have no flesh and blood descendants at this time. And at that time, Ishmael is born to Hagar and to Abram. Because, you know, Sarah finally said, I'm not going to have children. We have this Egyptian maid whom we brought back with us from Egypt, that you can have children. You have children by Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden. And Abram has a child by Hagar, the Egyptian handmaiden, when he is 86 years of age, a son named Ishmael. And in chapter 16, God says concerning him that Ishmael will have innumerable descendants, described in chapter 8 through 16. And Abram thought that the covenant God made with him was now going to be fulfilled through his own son, Ishmael, but through the son of Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid. He thought the covenant was going to be fulfilled there. But we come to Genesis chapter 17. 14 years have passed. Ishmael is now 13 years of age. 14 years have passed since Abram went into Hagar. 13 years have passed since she gave birth to her son. Abram is now 99 years of age, and that son, Ishmael, is now 13. Sarah is now 89 years of age. Abram believes that the covenant is going to be fulfilled through Ishmael. But when he is 99, Abram again has a visit from God. And let's look at chapter 17. You will notice, I want to read, first of all, verses 1 through 3. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me. Be blameless. Now I want to establish again my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now God said further to Abram, Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant. And he gives to him the sign of the covenant, which is to be physical circumcision. Now you will notice then at verse 15. Then God said to Abram, As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Abram is believing that Ishmael is the one to whom God will make the and keep his covenant. But God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And notice these words, And I will establish my covenant with Isaac for an everlasting covenant, for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I've heard you. I will bless him, will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. And you know, of course, that Sarah gave birth to Isaac. And when Isaac was weaned, Abram sent away Ishmael, his son whom he loved. It'd be interesting to discuss that whole episode. I find it a very heartrending one. God said, I'm going to establish the covenant with Isaac. And you know that Isaac had 2 sons. Now I'm just summarizing. They were Jacob and Esau. And you know that between the two, God said, I am establishing my covenant, not with Esau, for both Esau and Ishmael, among others, were the fathers of the Arabic peoples. But rather, I'm going to establish my covenant with Jacob, who had 12 sons. And those 12 sons were the fathers of 12 families, who became the 12 tribes. And God said, it's with Isaac and then it's with Jacob that I establish my covenant. And the covenant is a lot of things to Abram. Your name great, multiple nation descendants, new names to you and Sarah. My covenant with you will never terminate. The title to Canaan will never terminate. The covenant that I've made with you is going to be to your descendants. By Sarah, that is, by Isaac, and then later by Jacob. And that is the Abrahamic covenant. Do you begin to understand why the covenants are the foundation of Bible prophecy? Why is it today that the descendants of Jacob still exist as distinct people. Why is it today that the land of Israel is still the place the great majority of them say is going to be our home? Not all of them. Most of them in America don't feel that. But the fact of the matter is that in spite of all their history, and though they were for 19 centuries out of the land, and from 100 A.D. to the end of the 19th century, there were hardly any in the land. They were all over the world for 1900 years, yet through those 1900 centuries, what did a Jew always say? Next year, Jerusalem. Next year, Jerusalem. God made a covenant with Abram. And that is the Abrahamic covenant. Now that becomes the foundation of Bible prophecy. The next covenant we consider next week is a covenant God made with Moses. It is equally as important as this covenant that God made with Abram. And that will be the subject of our study next Wednesday night. I hope that you will be here for the study of the Palestinian covenant that God made with Moses. Let us pray. So our Father, our prayer is that you will cause this slow reading of your word and of Scripture to instruct us and teach us. Help us to grasp it and cause it to be enlightening. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed.